Hello, everyone. Good evening. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure are scintillating conversations. Tom has just informed me that the burger break will be after my talk, so you'll have to endure listening to me before you have your burger, your next burger. Thanks so much for coming. Really good to see you all. We're looking today at what's a really wonderful and encouraging psalm, Psalm 121. And it's full of many encouragements, and may the Lord speak to us through his word as we look to unpack its many riches. And so let's give it a read. Psalm 121 can be found on page 516 of the Church Bibles. 516, Psalm 121. A song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Now, the opening question of this psalm raises a question that is foundational to our humanity. From where does my help come? But to ask such a question relies on an acceptance that we actually need help, which is not always something that goes in line with the prevailing currents of our culture. Self-sufficiency, self-help, self-reliance, a sort of relentless insistence on the importance of high performance in the workplace are all the rage of the day. And in many respects, perhaps especially publicly, asking for help can be seen as a sign of weakness. But acceptance that we need help, along with the very clear answer given in this psalm, that help comes from the Lord, the creator of the heavens and earth, verse 2, is a foundational scriptural truth from Genesis right through to Revelation, and also a crucial theme within the Psalms themselves. Now, I'm sure I'm not alone amongst this room in looking forward to, when we get to the end of the year, the results of Spotify Wrapped, seeing sort of who is my most listened to artist, most listened to genres, themes, etc. I know for some of you that might involve sort of sharing on your Instagram story that for the fifth consecutive year, Taylor Swift has come out on top, or for the more avant-garde amongst us, it might be 17th century sea shanties. But as a disclaimer, I should say I fall in neither camp. But if we were to imagine a Spotify Wrapped of the Psalms, these songs that form part of the Psalms that are sung around the world in many churches to this day, what would the results be of the psalmist Spotify Wrapped? And I think there's a very strong case to be made that this idea of drawing help and confidence from the Lord being the creator would be a key theme that would come out quite high on top. To refer to one of many potential references to this theme throughout the Psalms, Psalm 95 speaks of how, for the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God. But what ultimately do we mean by help in this context? I think there's a danger that, like love, or if we go back to December 2020, a substantial meal, help can be quite a nebulous and subjective concept that is quite difficult to pin down with any sense of accuracy. But the exact context of Psalm 121 within the Psalms helps us discern with greater clarity what is actually meant by help in this context. So Psalm 121 falls within a section of Book 5 of the Psalms, which is a group of psalms called the Song of Ascents. These were songs that were sung by pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem as they underwent an arduous journey with many treacherous hazards ahead of them. I think you see that straight away in verse 1, where the psalmist says, I lift up my eyes to the hills that surround Jerusalem, the treacherous and intimidating terrain that they would have to cross to get to their destination. Likewise, for Christians today, although we don't make the same sort of physical pilgrimage to the physical earthly Jerusalem as the pilgrims depicted in this psalm, we nonetheless face a challenging and hazardous journey to our heavenly destination, our heavenly Jerusalem, our heavenly city that we are journeying towards. In many respects, this constitutes a spiritual battle in which there are many temptations and dangers and threats that might bring us off path and prevent us from reaching our destination. And so the help described here is really for the Christian wondering, how on earth am I going to get through the Christian life to the heavenly city unscathed and in one piece? And ultimately, Psalm 121 is a psalm of confidence for the Christian as the Christian progresses through his or her journey and faces uncertainty, suffering, and many challenges. The Creator of heaven and earth has promised to keep us and to help us safely home. And you'll see on the talk outline, I've prefaced the two main points with sort of question, why is it that we can derive so much confidence from the fact that our help comes from the Lord? And I've put together two points, the first of which is that he is the Creator God. So the Lord is our Creator. By definition, therefore, there is no challenge or threat that we face that is bigger than God. So referring back to Psalm 95, it speaks of how the Lord is a great king above all gods. And so therefore there is no man-made self-help manual which can compete, no other authorities, whether secular or supposedly spiritual, which can compete with the all-encompassing nature of the Creator God, the Lord's help. I think it's striking looking through the language used in this psalm, just the sheer totality of God's help. Verse 4, he does not sleep or slumber. So in many respects, it's actually God's insomnia that makes him such a great bodyguard. He will never be caught sleeping on duty, or like the defender that Roy Keane lambasts for being asleep on duty on Sky Sports. Verse 6, he watches over us by day and by night. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. He watches over all our movements, verse 8, our goings out, and our comings in. He even, verses 5 to 6, protects us from the scorching sun with shade. And I think this is sort of partly a reference to the immediate physical environment that the pilgrims found themselves in, say, scorching heat in Jerusalem, making their ways up the hills to their destination. Without the right protection, without the right shade, this is sun that might prevent them from reaching the heavenly destination. And I suppose this is something we can all relate to, a lot of this imagery, and I think particularly the idea of having protection from the scorching sun with shade. I'm sure all of us in this room have felt the full force of the sun, perhaps when on holiday, and even the most assiduous of Factor 50 wearers will have at least seen the effects of the sun on other people, perhaps especially if you make a habit of holidaying in Benidorm. We also see in verse 8 the eternal nature of God's help from this time forth and forevermore. And so we see all these great total characteristics of the all-encompassing nature of God's help that is from this time forth and forevermore. So therefore, as we face danger, trouble, and the uncertainty of the future, which we undoubtedly do and will, we can be steadfast in confidence that nothing ultimately surpasses God in power or in scope, and that he will watch over us as we go through our Christian journey. But secondly, I think there's more to the confidence that we can derive from the fact that our help comes from the Lord than just the fact he is the Creator. Because we also have a Lord who keeps his promises, who is intent on bringing his people safely home. The Psalms are redolent with language which emphasise the Lord's covenantal loyalty to his people. Again, to refer to one of many potential references of this theme, Psalm 107 speaks of how the redeemed of the Lord have been gathered, which is an answer to the exile's prayer from the end of the previous psalm, Psalm 106. Psalm 121 and the Song of Ascents generally continue this theme through the idea of God's people journeying to the heavenly city, and the Lord, the covenantal Lord, is intent on keeping his promise to see these people safely home. And the fact that the Lord depicted in this passage is a Lord who keeps his promises, I think, is evident through the language. You'll notice that the Lord that's referred to is referred to in capital letters. And in the Bible, this means Yahweh, the personal God of Israel. So this is a personal pledge from Yahweh, the personal God of Israel, to his people to see them safely home. Likewise, I'm sure you will have noticed the repetition of keep throughout the passage. Verse 3, he who keeps you will not slumber, for he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. Verse 7, he will keep your life. Verse 8, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. And so we have this personal Lord, the personal Lord of Israel, who is intent on keeping his people in all aspects of their life to make sure they get home to the heavenly city as he wants them to. Now, I wonder when you heard the image of, in verse 3, he will not let your foot be moved, how you responded to that. It's quite an interesting idea, the Lord not allowing his people's feet to be moved. Again, I think this is partly the sort of response to the direct physical context of the pilgrim's journey, foraging up all these hills, lots of risks of slipping, of falling, of getting injured and not making it to Jerusalem. But this is a image that I think we can all relate to, especially the sort of hikers and mountaineers and Bear Grylls aspiring members of our congregation who go through arduous terrain in their spare time as a means of fun. I recently experienced in a small way my feet being moved whilst in such a context. I was down in the South Downs with a few friends from uni, and being as it is, the South Downs, the cradle of the English sparkling wine industry, I took what I thought was the perfectly rational and logical decision that this would be a weekend purely consisting of going from vineyard to vineyard and, you know, tasting room to tasting room and farm shop to farm shop, all of course with the help of our designated driver. But the tyranny of the majority, such as it was in this situation, decreed that we would actually spend the whole weekend walking through the hills, something I was totally unprepared for. Nothing I can say on good authority that loafers in the English countryside are not a match made in heaven. And I spent much of the weekend perpetually stressed about whether I was going to slip up or fall over or get seriously injured. But to return to the much more important context of Psalm 121, the stakes here of one's feet being moved are just so much higher, because really this is getting at the risks of the Christian falling away, of stumbling and of not making it home, of slipping up on their journey and not reaching their heavenly destination, a very serious and grave outcome. But again, going back to the language used in the psalm, the Lord, the personal God of Israel, has promised to keep his people on numerous occasions and is intent on seeing his people safely home to the heavenly city. And so as we come to conclude, I think it is important to note, however, that we shouldn't read this psalm as meaning that the Lord's help will make our life comfortable and easy and straightforward. You don't need me to tell you that life is full of challenges and difficulties and uncertainty, and Christians are by no means exempt from those things. When thinking through this, I found a quote from a commentator on the Psalms called Derek Kidner helpful in thinking this through. He said that to be kept from all evil, verse 7, does not imply a cushioned life, but rather a well-armed one. And so, while the Lord's help does not promise that the Christian journey will be easy, we can rely on the fact that the Lord's help, being as he is the creator and the covenantal Lord who keeps his promises, provides an unrivaled armory for us to make it safely home. And so what should our immediate response to this be? I think ultimately it has to be for us to look to the Lord and draw near to him. We should not rely on any sense of the value of self-sufficiency in seeing us home in our Christian journey. There is no way that a sinful human and a fallen human can self-sustain himself or herself from all evil through to the final heavenly destination with no help from the Lord. in Genesis 3, in the fall, we learn that the serpent deceived Adam and Eve into eating from the tree, partly on the grounds that they would be wise and all-knowing like God, and they wouldn't have to refer to his wisdom. And this is the root of many problems affecting our view of help and whether or not we need it. But holding steadfast to the Lord, we can be encouraged by both the words of Psalm 121 and of Psalm 122, which opens as follows: I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And so let us rest on the Creator God who keeps his promises as ultimately fulfilled by the death and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. Even when we feel disheartened and discouraged and feeling as if we want to give up on our Christian journey, let us spur each other on in confidence as we walk together on our Christian journey to the heavenly city. You'll see that there's some further sort of application questions on the handout to help us think about the passage more. But before we turn to that, why don't I pray quickly? Father, thank you so much for the great encouragement that is Psalm 121. Thank you that we can derive help not from any sort of secular authority or any other authority, but from the Lord, the Creator of heaven and earth, and a Lord who is intent on and who does fulfill his promises. And please help us to be spurred on by this as we go through difficult times in our journey, in our faith, and when we suffer from temptations and we almost want to give up. Please help us to draw strength from the message of Psalm 121 and encourage each other in the process. Amen.